Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you're hearing sermon audio from Pastor Ben Hill, the pastor of Grace Point Church. In this episode, Pastor Ben continues his sermon series, Uncommon Faith. This is part three. Let's listen in.
It's a different kind of different. You know what I mean? Everybody doing okay?
She is the bomb. Oh, there was
her
little ice pack or whatever.
Hurting it all. Ice pack. Come to worship. Amen? My life is in your hands. Consider that thought for just a moment. What does it mean for your life to be in the hands of God? What does that mean?
Safe.
It means to be safe, right? What else does it mean?
Stop worrying.
Stop worrying. Oh, boy. Yeah, if you figure out how to do that, write a book, we'll all make a bunch of money, right? What else does it mean?
I'm not in control.
Wow. Yeah, that's the hard one for some of us, right?
We were bought with a price.
We've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Where's that? Where'd that come from? Surrender. What a word. In order for our life to truly be in the hands of God, we must be surrendered. Now, I'm speaking along two parallel tracks because obviously we know God is sovereign. And once we belong to Him, we are His, and that's not changing. Amen?
Amen.
But to understand and appreciate the full bounty, if you will, of being in the hands of God requires an action on our part, and that is for us to be surrendered to Him and to His will. Sometimes that's not as easy as other times, right? Sometimes it's easy to be surrendered, amen? I mean, when you are basking in the sun in the Turks and Caicos, then I guess it's easy to be in God's hands, right?
In her big white...
Yeah, I hear you. The beach hat. I wouldn't know either, right? But there you go. I mean, there are times when it's easy to be surrendered. There are other times when it's not. And in our continuing study, our continuing look at Hebrews chapter number 11, when we're talking about the practical element, the practical discipline, if you will, of faith, we come to a story that's familiar, but let's not let the familiarity of it all cause us to miss the incredible pertinence of it all. You know, there are those Bible stories, right? Adam and Eve, Noah's Ark, David and Goliath, Samson and Delilah, right? Jonah and the fish. There you go. There are those stories. We hear about them, we know about them, we've heard them. Add to that list the story of Abraham and Isaac. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 11. And we'll continue our study here in Hebrews chapter 11 as we look this morning at our fourth sermon, Tested Faith. A study in surrender. My heart, my life, my all is in your hands, Lord. Study in surrender. Look with me, if you will, at verses 17 through 19, and here's how it reads. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. Typography, if you will. And we'll go into that a little bit more later. Abraham, uncommon faith exercised by Abraham when he offered up his son Isaac in obedience to the Lord. The first thing I want us to notice is Abraham's crucial test. He was tested. The author of Hebrews says it very clearly that he was tested when he was tested. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. I don't know about you, but this brings up questions in my heart and mind. First of all, is how could a loving God ask Abraham to sacrifice his only son? Have you ever asked that question? How could a loving God look at a man who was living by faith, one whom he had called and promised all this great inheritance, one that he loved dearly, and look him at him and say, "Oh, Abraham, by the way, this son for whom you prayed for 35 years, this son that you agonized and prayed and waited and waited and waited on and then was miraculously given to you, I want you to take him now that he's a teenager, and I want you to march up to the Moriah wilderness and up to the mountain, and I want you to lay him on an altar, slay him, and burn him in sacrifice to the holy God." How could God do that? I wrestled with that in my mind. And every time I come back to one single answer, and that is this: God said to. And God loved Isaac more than Abraham or Sarah ever could. Because God knit him together in his mother's womb. So how could God? And then you fast forward and realize that God did the same thing, and that's the typology that we'll look at a little bit later. But that's the first question. The second question is, did God really ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? You know, sometimes we are at a disadvantage when we read a story like this because we're looking at it from a perspective of already knowing the end, right? So when we read the story about Abraham and Isaac, we already know because we've been taught. We saw the flannel graph in Bible school. We know that, oh, and behold, there's going to be a ram caught in the thicket, and that's going to be the sacrifice, and Isaac won't get slain. But you've got to remember when Abraham was going through this, the process that he was taking, the steps that he was making by faith was with every intention and purpose to follow God's instruction to lay his son's life on an altar before God. I don't know about you, but that is an incredible thing to consider for a father or a mother. How could God? Well, here's the issue. Did God really ask Abraham to sacrifice Isaac? You bet he did. All the information Abraham had was, go do it. In Genesis chapter 22, we see the narrative. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham?" And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Okay, God, thank you. I appreciate the morning's instructions. Right? Listen, when God gives instructions, you only have two options. Are you ready? Either you obey or you don't. That's it. When God gives us an instruction, when God tells us there's something that we are to do, we have two options: either obey or don't obey. Has God given us any instruction in His Word? Has God given us any standing assignments? How well do we do? We only have two choices. Either we or we
don't.
Either we're obedient or we're disobedient. If you stop to argue, that in itself is a form of disobedience, right? How many of you ever made that argument with the Lord? Anybody ever said, "God said do this"? We said, "Well, God, wait a minute. You didn't check with me. That does not fit into my agenda nor my schedule." "Are you sure, Lord? Did I hear that wrong?" Some of you wear hearing aids and you simply turn them down and say, "Lord, I didn't hear you." Right? If you stop to argue, that in itself is a form of disobedience. If you try to talk God out of it, that too is disobedience. Anybody guilty of that? Lord, but I'll tell you what. Lord, I'll give you 3 days of faithfulness if you just don't make me do this day. Right? Anybody ever tried to bargain with the Lord? I remember my greatest bargain with the Lord is when I went on, when I reluctantly went on my first mission, overseas mission trip as a believer. And I go over this trip, and then God impresses on my heart, I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do. And so I hear that and say, okay, Lord, great. I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you, God. I'll do this one time a year as long as you make sure the money's there. Now, wasn't I being really big and obedient, right? Not hardly. Why? Because God had a different plan. And, oh, by the way, he won, and that's another story. So, if you try to talk God out of it, that too is disobedience. If you offer an alternate plan, that is also disobedience. Well, Lord, no, you don't understand the situation here on the ground. We ought to do it this way, or we ought to do it that way. No, I think we ought to do this, but God has already said that this is how you're going to do it. Then, it's disobedience. I began to think about this over the week, and you know what came to my heart and my mind? I realized how many times I did something in obedience, but did it with these things running through my mind and my heart, and I did it reluctantly, and you know what I realized? That's just as disobedient as if I hadn't done it at all. Crazy. Trying to negotiate with God, that is disobedience. Doesn't take long to think about the times that we've done that as well. Amen? Abraham's crucial test. God gave Abraham an assignment that shudders, that makes us shudder. He gave him an assignment that just strains at the consciousness of our own morality. God gave Abraham an assignment that had to have been the toughest one human heart could ever consider. Well, how did Abraham do? Well, we notice the rest of the story. So we see Abraham's crucial test, but then next I want us to notice Abraham's compelling trust. You see, the scripture says there, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendant shall be called. Abraham was told by God, was promised by God, that it was he, that it was in Isaac your descendants shall be called. And remember, Abraham was told by God that he would be the father of many nations. From him a great offspring would come. And he told him this when his wife was barren. They were older and they had no children. God, what do you mean? And then God miraculously provided. And then God says, take this provision that I've given you. And now that he is of the teen years, getting ready to be possible, to be able to fulfill the promise, I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice him. And Abraham says, what? But he says, no, I will not question God because I know him and I trust him. And he immediately set out on his way to do what he was compelled to do. Folks, I don't know about you, but that is an incredible exercise in faith. Amen?
Amen.
See, here I think the author of Hebrews brings our attention and our focus to two things. And it clearly highlights the incredibly high stakes that we're talking about. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. The lineage was clearly laid out. Abram has this in his heart and mind, in his thought and his memory, when God gives him the instruction. You see, Abraham's compelling trust gives us something very clear. First of all, the key. Faith simply believes and leaves the how in the hands of the Almighty Sovereign God. Can I get your attention? Church, listen. How many of us live our lives with the overarching compulsion to be able to explain and understand everything? Anybody? You know? All right, here's some young people in the room. Let me ask you this. Have you ever asked your parents this question? Why? Any parent alive would say, that is a dumb question. Because they have multiple times. Why? How many of you have ever heard, because I told you so? Right?
How many have said it?
I told you so, because I told you so, right? I remember as a kid saying, I'll never say that to my kids. Yes, again, Brittany wasn't very old at all. I think two when I finally said, because I told you so. So here's the bottom line. Faith in the beliefs of these that now in the hands of the Almighty Sovereign God. It's one common faith. It's what Abraham exercised. Someone said, the death of a child is like a period before the end of a sentence. It's not natural. It's not normal. It's not what we think should happen or be right. But here's the thing I don't want us to forget. Abraham's faith, his surrender, was such that he was fully prepared to do it. He was fully prepared to do what God said to do. And the third thing is, I want you to notice is this. Oh, wait a minute. Go back to this. This is something I want to highlight for you. Are you ready? Are you at Hebrews chapter 11? Look at verse number 17. The scripture reads, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Notice when it says he offered up. In the Greek text, in the original language, in the Greek text, that word offered up is a word that is in the perfect tense. You know what that means? That means that he has offered him up and still remains that way. If something is in the perfect tense in the Greek text, when you read it in the perfect tense, you can read it this way, and now still is, or and still remains. Do you understand what I'm saying? So in other words, he offered up Isaac and still remains that way. In other words, he now still is offered up. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Abraham was all in. His trust transcended anything else that we can think about. He knew that God had made a promise and that he would do what he had promised. So he offered him up, and he now still is offered up. A lingering effect. In other words, he never took Isaac back. Listen to me, church. Uncommon faith, compelling trust, means that when you are surrendered, you stay that way. I don't know about you, but there are probably a lot of folks in here who can identify with me in this. There are oftentimes I've said, oh Lord, here they are. Here I have. I've laid him at the altar. I've laid her at the altar. I've put my life in your hands. I've laid it down only then to turn around and do what?
Pick it up.
Pick it back up and reclaim our supposed authority over that thing. You see, uncommon faith and compelling trust that Abraham showed is that he offered him up and he now still. You see, God rescued Isaac that day. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
God stopped his hand from plunging the knife into the chest of his son. God provided an animal for the blood sacrifice on that altar. God did all those things. But when Abraham laid his son down on that altar. He never took him off figuratively in his own heart and mind.
That's
the
big.
Surrender was complete.
That is big.
How incredible. The trust and the faith. Wow. Notice also, I want you to see that the author calls attention to God's previous promise. Know again, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. Verse 18, it was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. In Isaac there, in that verse, the original text, comes with major emphasis. In other words, it's a Holy Spirit shout. In Isaac, the one that I've said I want you to sacrifice, that's the one through whom the promise is to come. What an incredible seeming contradiction. Amen? I mean, on the one hand, bring forth a nation through Isaac, and on the other hand, sacrifice Isaac as a teenager on the altar. Listen to me, Abraham didn't know how God would do it. He just knew that God would. Amen? He didn't know how God was going to accomplish some miracle, but he just knew that he would and that he would provide for the promise. Listen, faith believes and leaves the how in the hands of the Almighty God. God says go, and we. God says stop, and we. Amen. So Abraham's compelling trust. And then third and finally, we see Abraham's complete triumph. Well, this is the fun part. This is when it gets excited. Somebody needs to look like you're excited. I'm looking at a bunch of faces that look like I've just eaten persimmons. And I am sitting waiting on jury duty. What you look like? Stop! Smile, Al! Oh, there it is. That's a smile. When Al smiles, it starts at his toenails. It goes all the way through it. Amen? All right, you with me? Abraham's complete triumph. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, or from which he also received him back as a type. Or, figuratively speaking, here's the point. Are you ready? There are two things here. First of all, we have the type that Abraham and Isaac. Anybody that's a student of Scripture, anybody has any understanding of the gospel, understands that Abraham and Isaac, Abraham offering his only son, his only begotten son on the sacrifice, is a typology or a picture of what?
God
giving his only begotten son, Jesus, on a cross to sacrifice him for the sins of the world. Amen? Right? It's clear. We see that typology. But also, I want you to see there, the figurative issue is that it was as if figuratively Abraham had completed the task of offering his son Isaac on the altar. Are you with me? The only way Abraham could leave him on the altar and not take him back was for it to have been fully resolved in his heart that this is what he's going to do. And he had done it before the act ever took place. He had given himself. In other words, figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Wow. See, Abraham conquered a lot of things that day. We're given this instruction. He learned something. We learned something here that's only hinted at in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, verse 5, we see the story of Abraham and Isaac. And he says first, stay here with the donkey while I go, and the boy, while I and the boy go over there, we will worship, and then we will come back to you. You get it?
Yep.
Abraham told the servants, we're going to go up here, and then we're coming back. Hello, come on in. I hope that was the Holy Spirit coming in and not leaving. But anyway, here's what he said. He said, we will come back to you.
Okay.
Two things. One, perhaps Abraham knew that if he said, I'm going to go up here, we're going to do the sacrifice, and then I'm coming back to you, that the servants might have said, well, time out. What about the boy? And maybe they would have tried to stop him. Could be. Or it could be what I choose to believe is that Abraham had such trust and faith in God that he knew somehow, some way, I'm going to go follow through with this. But when it's all said and done, this promise is going to be fulfilled. So this boy is coming back with me. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see, I remember thinking about with my own children and thinking about the time when God put on my heart that I was to go to the altar and then just lay myself down and lay my family at the altar before Him. Say, God, it's in Your hands, whatever You choose to do. Oh, and how many times I've taken them back. But God keeps reminding me they're supposed to be there. By God's grace, I pray that that's where they stay. Because He can sure take care of them better than I could ever do. He says, we're coming back. Secondly, another hint. While they're going up, Isaac's carrying the wood, and they're going up to do this altar. Isaac knows what sacrifice is about, right?
Yep.
He's carrying the wood for the fire. Dad's got the knife in his belt. We're going up here to do it. And Isaac looks at him and says, oh, Dad, hey, come out. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And then what does Abraham say? God. Words that have become synonymous with the whole aspect of faith. God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Or God will provide for Himself a lamb. Isn't that incredible? So we see that reality. What was his triumph? Well, uncommon faith. When you think of Abraham, what do you think of? Most of the time you think of this story, right? When we hear of Abraham later, recorded in the annals of history for all time, he's found in the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter number 11. And what is the aspect of his life that's brought up? Abraham and Isaac. Uncommon faith. You go on to chapter in Genesis 22, verse 12. It says, you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. After everything was over, after God stopped his hand, and when the angel stopped his hand from plunging in and looked over and the ram was caught in the thicket and all that stuff was done, God said this to him. And then God said this. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you. And I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies.
Amen.
Consider with me this for just a moment. Uncommon faith. Abraham and Isaac. Abraham obeyed God. And Isaac received the blessing. Abraham obeyed God. And oh, by the way, we received the blessing. Abraham exercised uncommon faith. And the world received the blessing. What is there in your life or my life that God has asked us to do? And to whom is the blessing promised if we obey? What is your Isaac? Your Isaac could be your son or your daughter or your grandson or your granddaughter. Your Isaac could be your spouse, could be any number of people. Maybe your Isaac is your good works. They need to be sacrificed on the altar before God because your good works aren't good enough.
Amen.
Faith is what's required. What is your Isaac? Maybe your Isaac is your talent and your ability. Maybe your Isaac is your money. Maybe your Isaac is your lack of money. The question that remains today is, will you exercise uncommon faith in whatever it is? You see, I believe beyond a shadow of a doubt, God has a purpose and a plan for each and every one of us. Here we see Abraham's faith at its pinnacle. Amen? Could there ever be a better picture or a bigger picture of faith than a father with a long prayed for and longed only son? Ishmael's another issue. But the son of promise, poised in obedient posture for the dagger to take his life. Could there be a bigger picture of faith? I can't imagine one. You see, even though God's command didn't make any sense at all from human perspective, Abraham obeyed anyway. Why did he? Because he knew. Somehow, some way, God would honor his promise. Has God promised you anything? If you're a child of the King, if you trusted Jesus, if you placed your life in him and are a heir to the kingdom, he's made incredible promises to you. Amen.
Amen.
Will God keep his promise? So can you trust him?
Yes.
Trust him enough to obey him. What is your Isaac this morning? Faith is more than just a word. Faith is certainly more than a one-time feeling when you receive Jesus by faith. Faith is a choice. Faith is a commitment. Faith is a discipline. Faith is a promise. Faith is an action. Anytime we exercise our faith before God, anytime, God's promises will come through. Amen? I'm going to invite you to stand. As we have an invitation song, here's my question. You as a church, you as an individual. As we think about the faith that was displayed by Abraham in this uncommon, unbelievable story, what does it say to us about our own faith? Are we living that way? Are we doing all those things like we said? Are we negotiating and trying to talk God out of stuff? And you know all the things like that. Are we? And then secondly, what is your Isaac What is my Isaac? What is it that you are unwilling to lay down in complete and full surrender before the Lord? If God identifies that to your heart today, I would simply say, and I would beg you to simply just do business with Him right where you are, or come to this altar, whatever you feel led to do, but do something about it. Here I am, Lord. My heart is in your hands. My life is in your hands. And then if you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, listen, it's more than cliche, it's more than a story, it's more than talk. I'm telling you, from the voice of experience, it is a radical departure from that which is going nowhere to that which has the promise of everything. So the Bible says that we're separated from God because of sin in our life. And there's no hope. We're destined for an eternity away from God in a horrible place called hell. That's what we've earned. God didn't spare the knife with His only begotten Son. He allowed Him in His sinless state to be laid down on a cross, sacrifice, shedding His blood to cover your sin and mine. Then God raised Him from the dead, and all we have to do is simply by faith, trust, and believe. And ask Him to forgive us of our sin and come into our lives, and we will be His children. I don't know about you, but I'll never forget the day that I laid on my face at an altar and said, God, I'm sick and tired of being my own boss because I stink at it. I want you to be in control. You surrender to Him, He will save you. We're going to play this song. We're going to ask you to pray. If you know the words, sing to it. Whatever you feel led to do. But if you've never been born again, if you don't know if you died today that you would certainly go to heaven, then I beg you to step out from where you are. Come down, take me by the hand. I'm going to pray with you. I'll show you. I promise you, God will save you. Or perhaps you have an Isaac in your life that you need to let go of.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also like us on Facebook at Grace Point Church SC, follow us on Twitter at Grace Point SC, Instagram Grace Point Simpsonville, Snapchat, and LinkedIn. You can also listen to Pastor Ben's other sermons on YouTube or subscribe to this podcast. Thank you for listening.